Today I'm going to be preaching from the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bible, open up to the book of Matthew. It's a familiar scripture. If it's not familiar to you, it will be by the time we're done with the services today. But Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to be preaching on a calling that God has placed on every single one of our lives. Every single one of our lives. You can't escape it. If you ever wondered, what is God's will for your life? Well, I can tell you this is one of them. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And the title of today's sermon is Help Wanted, Sharing the Gospel. Help Wanted, Sharing the Gospel. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. God's word says it like this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to be able to receive your word into our hearts today, Lord. Help us to be able to come in one way, but to leave another way, God. Help to inspire us, Lord, to encourage us, to challenge us, God, to live out the words and the commands that you give us today, Lord. God, be with our families and anything else that's distracting us from being able to worship you today, Lord. If there's something in our life that we're thinking about, if there's something that's troubling us, Lord, I pray that you'd be able to take that from our hearts today so that, God, we could just focus on you, Lord. Lord, we pray for all those people in Texas and all the people that are impacted by that terrible hurricane, Lord. God, we pray for all the lives that have been lost and the families for comfort, Lord. We know your scripture says, Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And God, we pray that they be comforted, Lord. We pray, God, that the help that would need to be sent, Lord, would be sent. And God, Lord, that your work would be done and your glory would shine through that entire situation, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do in that situation. Thank you, Lord, for watching over Brother Doug and helping him to have a successful surgery, Lord. God, we pray that he recovers quickly, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be the Christian men and women you want us to be, to glorify your holy and precious name wherever we go, whether it's in the church, outside the church, at work, or at school. For it's in your name we pray all these things, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So how many people in the congregation today have ever looked for a job? Has anybody ever looked for a job? Yeah, is that a fun thing to do, to look for a job? Looking for a job can kind of be defeating sometimes, can't it? You go out there and you look for a job and you're trying. You fill out applications, you fill out resumes, and what kind of letters do you get back sometimes? Anthony, you got any examples? Yeah, sometimes you get these letters back, don't you? They say, well, we really would like to have you. And then there's those three horrific letters. But, you know, blah, 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 blah. So today we're going to talk about a job that you may or may not have been looking for. We're going to talk about a classified ad that God has put out all over through his word in the Bible. A job that you're qualified for. A job that you can do. Now the interesting thing about this job is the pay. The pay is interesting because, well, you would hope maybe to be paid in dollars or denarii or lira or depending on where you are. The pay that you receive for doing this job is far in abundance better than any money that you could ever receive. The pay for this job is seeing people's lives changed. That job that you have, if you're a Christian today, is to share the gospel message. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. So the reason this all came up is I've been thinking. It's a scary thing, I know. But I've been thinking, how long has it been since someone has witnessed to you? How long has it been since someone has come up and asked you if you knew Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Talked to you, maybe invited you to church, or just used the word Jesus in general. I mean, how long has it been since someone has done that to you? Think about it for a minute. We live in a city that has over 50 churches, well over 1,000 Christians, and I can't remember the last time someone witnessed to me. Now, someone told me, they said, well, maybe it's because they know you're a pastor. Well, not every one of the 30,000 people in Emporia can know that I'm a pastor. I would love for that to happen. I would love for those 30,000 people to be here today. But this got me wondering is, Why do we have over 50 churches, over 1,000 Christians, and no one is witness to me? What about in your life? Can you think about the last time somebody has witnessed to you? You know, it's so important today that we share the gospel message, that we share the love of Christ, because there's people that are hurting. There are people with problems. Has anybody got a problem today? Hopefully it's not the person sitting next to you. Amen. Yeah. Lots of us have problems, right? Every single one of us has problems. We all deal with struggles. Wouldn't it be nice to get a little encouragement? Wouldn't it be nice to have a down day at work or a down day while you're grocery shopping or something and somebody say, cheer up, life's not that bad. You're going to get through it. Wouldn't that be nice to hear? We have a guy named Indy. He's one of Josh's friends. He comes on Wednesday night to services lately. He came bowling. And he didn't know about my bowling and things like that and how we bowl. And I said, boy, I don't know. I'm a little bit nervous about picking this up. But I was just talking. And he looks at me with a serious face and he goes, don't worry, you got this. You can do it. He goes, he puts his ball back down on the thing. He goes, you got this, man. Go on, you can pick it up. I mean, that's the kind of attitude he had. He didn't know that I've been bowling terribly for years, but nevertheless, it was good encouragement. And he was honest and serious. And so other times I'd get up there and I'd be like, oh man, look at this, what I have to pick up. And he'd be up there with me and he goes, don't worry, you got it. You can do it. And because of his attitude and his happiness, he made me want to try to pick up stuff that I could never pick up before. Why? Because I wanted him to be like, see, it worked. But it did work. He encouraged me. He made a difference in my day. I was having fun just bowling. But because he told me, like, you can do it, I believe in you, man, I started to believe in myself. And you know what happened? I got 2 turkeys in 1 game and just beat the pants off Brother George. So, hey, praise the Lord for that, huh? What a neat kid. But what I'm saying is, all of us need encouragement in our life. All of us need that little boost every once in a while. We need to know that Jesus is watching over us, that Jesus does love us, that Jesus does care. And so it's so important to witness today. As we look at people who are hurting, we look at people who are going through tough times, we look at some people we saw just a few weeks ago, and even last week, that tried to take their own life. Why? Because they didn't think they were important. They didn't think anybody cared about them. But the truth is, Jesus does care about them. And we should care about them too. And so we got to think about those things. How many people in here would be welcome and comfortable raising their hand and saying, I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me see you raise your hand. All right, great. Well, you know what you just did? You just signed up for this new job. Congratulations. Because if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have to go and share the gospel with people. Congratulations. Praise the Lord. Well, I tricked you into that one. But that's the truth. That's your mission. So who can tell me the reason that Jesus came to earth anyway? Why did Jesus come to earth? Who knows? Why did he come here? Josh? He died to save our sins. Yeah, but what? So what does that mean, though? Why did he really come here? He came here just to die? Or did he come here for something else? Seek the lost. Yeah, he came here to seek and to save those that are lost. And then he ended up dying for their sins, like you said, Josh. So yeah. So he came to seek the lost. Now, you know what happens if I lose my car keys? I blame my wife, of course. I mean, that's what every good man does, right? You lose your car keys, and it had to be your wife that drove your pickup truck. Although Shannon never really drives my truck, so that's a poor excuse. But if I lose something, I go seeking after it. I go looking for it. And I wonder how often is it that we actually go looking for those people that are hurting. We go looking for those people that need encouragement. We go seeking after those that are lost. If we're honest with ourselves, it may not be all that often. And so if there's one need, I think, that there is in the entire world today, it's for people to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Would you agree with me on that? So if that's what people need more than anything in the world, and we raise our hand saying that we're Christians, and we know that it's our job to go share with them, here's the convicting part, then why aren't we sharing with them? Why aren't we sharing with them? Think about it. So in the scripture we read today, Jesus, he's preparing for his death. And you see, there's 2 times that people really pay attention to you. Hopefully more than that, but there's 2 times that they really pay attention to you. That's when you're born and when you pass away. Now, when you're born, everybody wants to know what your first words are. If you're a mother, there is no first words you want out of that kid's mouth other than mama. And I'm telling you, they make, moms just make all kinds of funny sounds. They think their kid's like, eh, he said mama, did you hear that? It was like, eh, eh, I think he just went poop, honey. No, he said mama. And as a dad, we want the same thing. We're like, we get to watch that little baby, and we're like, dad, 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 dad. Dad, and the kid's like playing like, no, son, we're not playing right now. Dad, 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 dad. Like, it's who says the first words. And so the first words seem to be important to us. When a child is born, everybody in the family comes together. They surround you. They want to see that baby born. And when you pass away, it's kind of the same thing. When you're getting ready to pass away, everybody comes and they visit you. Everybody says things they've always wanted to say to you. And they listen to you maybe more intently than they have ever listened to you before. And so that's what's taking place here is Jesus. He's getting ready to pass away. He's getting ready to leave earth, and he's getting ready to go to heaven. And as he does that, he's giving some advice to these people. He's saying, look, I'm getting ready to leave earth. And so here I want to share something with you. You're supposed to be under my authority. You're supposed to go make more disciples, and you're to baptize and teach these new disciples about me. And I want to remind you something. You don't have to be scared. Don't fear. Because I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so I got to ask you a personal question today. How long has it been since you shared your faith with somebody? Just think to yourself. How long has it been since you shared your faith with somebody? Think about it. I read this thing, according to some international church statistics, that over 100,000 churches will close from 2010 to 2020. 100,000 churches will close. And the reason they'll close is because churches are real good at proclaiming the gospel and sharing with each other and supporting each other inside the walls of the church. But the church has stopped spreading God's word. It stopped going outside and telling people about Jesus. And because of that, all these churches are going to close because the people in them pass away and there's no new blood in the church and eventually they close. Instead of talking with our friends about Jesus Christ and witnessing and trying to encourage them, all we do is talk with them about sports and their other problems. But we never really bring up what Jesus can do for them. I was reading a story, and it was really a story that touched my heart. You know about all those, a couple years ago, when there was all those pirates that were going and they were taking over ships and doing things like that? Do you remember that? Reading about that stuff in the news? Now, I thought it was kind of strange. The first time I read about that, I thought, pirates? We live in like the technology age. Like some guys really are like jumping on other ships and shooting people? Seriously? Like this is not the 1700s. This isn't Christopher Columbus Day in the 1400s. But so this is a true story. There were some pirates, and it was in the Aegean Sea off by Turkey. And these pirates came over, and they came onto this big boat. And they came, and their goal was to steal the food, all the valuable things, and then to sink and burn the boat. And so that's what they did. So these pirates, they came over, they jumped on the ship, stole all the stuff, and blew up the ship, and the ship sank. The people that were on the crew on the ship, they were able to get off. They had 6 lifeboats, and so they're out in the Aegean Sea. They're on their lifeboats, and they're traveling. So at least the people were safe. But it was dark. They couldn't see anything. Finally, morning broke, and one of the 6 lifeboats saw this big rock that looked like land. And so they said, there's land over there, there's land over there. And so they were super excited. And so they went over to the land. And this one lifeboat, they set up camp. They started building buildings. They started harvesting food. They started doing things. And they were taking care of themselves, and life was good again for them. But those other 5 boats, they never went back to them. And those people ultimately perished, and they died. Why did they die? Because the people who were saved forgot what it was like to be lost. They didn't go back and save those people that were lost. They were so happy about what they were at, where they were saved. They were safe on this land. They never went to go save the people that were lost. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we do the same thing. We end up finding Jesus. We know him as our Lord and Savior. We may witness to our families or those that are close around us. But then we kind of create this barrier, this fortress, and we protect our own. We take care of our own. But we never go back out to save those that are lost. And so I asked myself as I was writing the sermon, why, God, do we do that? Why do we not continuously have this burden for the people that are lost? Why don't we go share with them so that they can be saved too? And I thought, well, maybe it's because we don't remember what happens. Maybe we'd rather be keepers of the aquarium, so to speak, instead of be the fishers of men to be able to go out and witness to those people. I want you to look at a scripture with me in Revelation chapter 21. If you have your Bibles, go to Revelation chapter 21. I want to share with you, maybe the reason we don't go back there after those that are lost, those that are still in the boat, those that haven't found land, is because we just don't remember how serious it is. Revelation chapter 21, verses 6 through 8. Listen to this. It says, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." So if you're saved, you'll get everything. Life is good. But now look at these people that are lost. Listen to what it says about that. "But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers and the adulterers, and all the liars, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Maybe we just don't realize how serious it is anymore. Maybe we just walk through life and we say, well, at least we're saved. We're going to heaven. You know, if I was to die today, I'm going to heaven. But look at the seriousness of the people that aren't saved. Can you imagine being in a lake of fire that is everlasting, burning forever with no end? The pain in that? I've burned myself before pretty bad. I was making donuts before. Has anybody made donuts at home? It's a fun project. I was making donuts in a wok, and I had some buttermilk biscuits, and I was cutting out the middle with my with a prescription bottle. You cut it out, cuts out a perfect little hole in the middle of that buttermilk biscuit, and you can use that little piece for a donut hole, and then the rest you use for a donut. And I was frying them in this wok, and this guy Lonnie, who was living with us at the time, he kept eating those donuts as I was frying them, and that was getting me mad. And so I would smack his hand, I would tell him no, and then I was a teenager, so I thought about it. But anyway, I went over there and I went to slap his hand again, and we had a mat on our floor in our mobile home that was not a non-slip mat. It was just a rug, and I slipped and I put both my hands in that grease. In the wok, 375 degrees, and it melted all four of my fingers on both hands. I was 15 or 16 at the time. I couldn't get a hold of my mom, and my dad drove all the way up from Chicago and took me to the ER, and they had to cut my fingers apart with scissors. And I had to be on these, I had to wear these mats. I mean, these glove mitten type things. It was horribly embarrassing. I was a 15-year-old going through puberty and all those other things, and guess who had to give me a shower? My mom. It's horrible. But none of that hurt compared to the pain of the burning. It didn't matter what medicine they gave me. It didn't matter what cream they put on. The burning was horrendous. I can't even explain it to you. I've broken arms, legs, knees, all kinds of stuff. But burning hurt worse than any of those things. Folks, when I read this scripture, and when it tells me that they're going to burn in an everlasting lake of fire, anybody who doesn't know Jesus is their Lord and Savior, I remember what it was like for me to get burnt. And I healed. But what about them? What about them? You see, it's not good enough just to be happy that you're saved. You got to go share with other people. None of us are perfect. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Don't forget what it was like being out there drowning in that sea with no one there to save you. Folks, we have got to share the gospel. There's a lot of people that are doing something today. I call it the lie of living in the middle. I call it the lie of living in the middle. Many people in our society today believe that they're generally good people. And if they're generally good people and God is who he says he is, then they'll go to heaven. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, Sebastian, exactly. The problem with that is it's just not true. If you are truly good, then what measure are you measuring up yourself against? Are you good compared to your neighbor? Are you good compared to your friend? Well, that's great. I'm glad you're better than those people you think. I'm sure they think they're better than you too. But the measure is God. Jesus, he was perfect, never sinned. So how good are you compared to him? The Bible says we're like filthy rags. Our best work. You see, we all need Jesus. The only way to get saved, the only way to go to heaven, is through Jesus. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There's no amount of good works going to get you to heaven. Did you know there? If you take Google and you put in Google and you search number of world religions, 4,200 religions will come up. Go ahead, Google it. You can Google it on your phone now if you want. 4,200 religions, world religions there are. And you know what that tells me is people are looking for answers. People are worried. People do want to go to this heaven. And I didn't study all 4,200 of them. Just not that smart. But I did look at many of them. And you know what the difference is between the two? Every one that I studied except for Christianity talks about being saved by works. Because it's easier. If you tell me I need to change 5 tires and go to heaven, I'll change 5 tires. If you tell me I got to build 10 houses, I'll build 10 houses. If you tell me I got to change 4,000 baby diapers, I'll change 4,000 baby diapers. But what God wants is so much simpler than that. He just wants you to believe. He just wants you to accept what he did for you. You know, the gospel really comes down to it. It's just simple. It's just simple. Ron and I were talking about this. But when it comes down to it, there is no middle. It's black or it's white. There's no middle. The Bible makes it simple. Either God is your father or Satan is your father. Either you're in a relationship with Christ or you're not. Either you're saved and you believe in Jesus Christ or you're not and you'll perish. Either you're heaven bound or you're on a path to hell. The truth is no one is in the middle. There's no such thing as middle ground. There's no such thing as purgatory. No one is almost to heaven. No one is almost saved. You either have accepted Christ or you've rejected Christ. That's the simple, blatant truth. You're either safe on the shore or you're drowning in the middle of the ocean. God has called those that are safe on the shore that he has rescued to go save those that are drowning in the ocean. The scripture says it just this simple. Here's the gospel in John 3:16 through 18. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not die but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Here's why God sent his son. But God sent his son to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they haven't believed in the name of God's one and only son. We have to quit believing the lie that just because we see ourselves as good people that we're going to heaven. Jesus is the only way. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter about what your mom or dad or grandmother does. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're just not going to make it there. We only have 2 choices of where we can go, heaven or hell. And God wants us all to go to heaven. But the choice is up to you. And so I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I want everybody to go to heaven. I don't want anybody to feel that burning feeling that I felt when I burned my hands. It hurt. I don't want anybody to have to feel that. I want everybody to go to heaven. And so as a man of God who wants people to go to heaven, I thought it's time for us to step up to the plate and follow God's commandment. Listen again what it says in Matthew 28:19-20. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Notice verse 19 says, doesn't say, well, go out if you feel like it, or share the gospel if you want to, or if it's convenient. It says, go. It's a command. It says, go, do it. No excuses. So many people like to tell me today that, well, you know, Pastor, I don't have that gift to be able to share with them. Well, then you're saying God is a liar. And God's not a liar. If he told you and commanded you to go and do it, then he's given you what you need to do it. But you see, the problem we have as Christians today is we just give people a little bit of the gospel. Have you ever gone to Sam's Club or to a mall and they hand you out those free samples? They just give you a little bit of each thing, right? And then you leave hungry. You leave wanting more. How many times do we witness to people or we share something? We say like, I'm sorry you're going through that, Mr. Carroll. I'll pray for you. Or I'm sorry you're going through this. You know, God can help you. And then we leave it at that. Why don't we grab a hold of that person's hand and pray for them? Why don't we tell them the only hope they have in life is Jesus Christ? Why aren't we more bold in sharing our faith? Think of the burning on my hands. I don't want people to go through that. So I want to be bold in my faith. I want to be able to not share free samples with somebody and let them go away hungry. I want them to go away full. I want them going away knowing the truth, whether they believe it or not. The Bible says in Romans 10:14, says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? Folks, we have to tell people about the Lord. Wow. Shannon and I were in this place in El Dorado called Mid-Century Antiques yesterday. We're shopping, looking for stuff, just bored, really, hanging out, spending some time together. And as Shannon's looking at this little leather purse that folds and reversible, I don't know, it's cool. It's 10 bucks, bargain. She's looking at this little thing, and I hear this guy on the phone, the owner of the store, I assume. He's on the phone, and he said, no, no. Why are you always looking at things negative? You need to look at the positive things that God has done in your life. You see, the reason you're dealing with your problem right now is because all you see is the negative. God gave you breath to live today. God has put you in the situation where you are today. You know, you could be dead right now, but you're alive. So don't say there's no purpose for you. I know you have an addiction. This is all I'm hearing. God can deliver you from that addiction. You got to put down that and you got to go to God. You got to stop running to those drugs and run to the Lord. And then somebody calls through and he goes, hold on, I got to get this call. I was like, slam my hand on the shelf. Because that's how the devil works. Right when you start really witnessing and really talking to somebody, something happens and it interrupts. And I was like, please don't let that guy answer that call. And what he did is said, I'll call you right back. And he answered the call. That's how the devil works. I went over there and I talked to him. I said, man, I know I probably wasn't supposed to be over listening to your conversation, but I'm preaching this sermon on witnessing tomorrow, and it's awesome to hear you sharing about how God can change this person's life. And he looked at me, and a tear ran down his eyes, and he said, that's my son. He's addicted to meth. And he's going to die if he doesn't give his life to Christ. But he won't listen to me. And so I grabbed his hand and said, I don't know what to do, but I know we can pray. And Shannon grabbed his hand, and I grabbed his hand, and Josh grabbed his hand, and we all prayed. We prayed that God would do something to move in his life so that he wouldn't die of this addiction, that God would deliver him from this addiction, that God would help him. Folks, there are people that are lost. There are people that are going to burn. There are people that are going to die. And we're just sitting in our little comfy homes and we don't care. I'm tired of not caring. We got to share the word of God. If you get out there and you just share and encourage and share the love of God, God will give you the opportunities. He gives you the command. He tells you to do it. Your relationship with God will change. It'll grow closer. You'll see people's lives change just like your life changed. I can't stress how serious this is. But still, maybe you're thinking in your head right now, I don't know enough about the Bible. What if they ask me a question I don't know? What are other people going to think about me? Who cares? Let me give you a hint. Isaiah 55:11. That's a verse you should memorize. And it's a verse that will save your soul when you witness. The Bible says this, that God's word will not return void. The whole scripture says it like this. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it to. You can fail at a lot of things, but you can't fail at witnessing. If you're using God's word, it won't return void. God's word doesn't lie. If you go out there, I don't care if you feel like you didn't do a good job, if you were in a bad mood, if you were impatient, if you felt like, man, I wish I could have said this. It doesn't matter what you said. If you used God's word, it will not return void. It will go forth and accomplish that which it was shared to. This is a part of your Christianity. You cannot mess up unless you're silent. Unless you just sit there and say nothing. I'm going to tell you something you might not believe, but the national average of people getting saved in a church is about 15% from hearing a sermon or a message that a pastor shares. The other 80 to 90%, 85%, if you will, get saved through one-on-one witnessing. That's you sharing. That's you sharing your testimony. That's you telling somebody else about what Jesus has done in your life. Only 15% of people get saved in a church. 85% get changed and saved by you guys going out and talking to them. If you're dependent on me and this church to be able to bring people to Christ, I thank you for that honor, but the statistics show you have a better chance than I do preaching in a pulpit. And so what are we going to do, folks? Are we going to sit in our own homes and be happy about our saved life and us going to heaven? Or are we going to get out in there and we're going to share God's word and we're going to encourage people and we're going to try to change the world? What Emporia needs, it's not better laws and more money and better health care and all that stuff. What we need is a spiritual revival, and it starts with you. It starts with me. Don't be ashamed of God's word. God says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Get out there and share. There are people floating in the middle of the ocean that God has sent you to talk to. There are people you'll be able to reach in your life that would never listen to a pastor. There are people in your life that would never run in the same circles as I would. God put you in the position you're at, in the job you're at, in the family you're at for a reason. Don't miss the reason. Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. Shouldn't that be the most important thing to us too? Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, God. We acknowledge how great and how awesome you are, God. And more importantly than that, God, how people need you in their life. Lord, we live in a world today of self-centeredness. God, where many of us are just focused on our own needs, or at most our family's needs. But God, we're to be those that share the gospel. You gave us this job, God, to go and tell others. You gave us this job to go and encourage others, to tell them about the great things you've done in our life, and to tell them about the great things you can do in their life. God, don't let us just be satisfied with our salvation, God. Let us follow your word. Let us be obedient to your scripture and go out, Lord, and seek those. Let us go and look for those people that are hurting next time we're at Walmart. Let us look for those people in our family that are going through a bad time. Let us stop just saying we're going to pray for people. Just grab a hold of their little hand and pray for them right then. Maybe God will give you the words as you're praying that will plant the seeds. And help us not to be defeated. Because God, they say a person has to hear the gospel over 7 times before they accept it. So maybe we're out there and we're sharing. Maybe it's the 6th time. Maybe it's the 1st time. Maybe we get the door slammed in our face. Help us to remember that scripture in Isaiah 55:11. Your word will not return void, but it will do what it was sent out to do. God, let us trust you. Help us, Lord. God, I know you want to use us today. Maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. They heard this message and they say, man, I want to give my life to you, God. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go anywhere else. I want to go to heaven. I want to be with my family. Lord, I believe in you. I believe that you came, you were sinless, that you died, that you rose again from the grave. I believe you're the only one that can forgive me for my sins. Lord, help me live for you. Teach me how to love others the way you love me. Maybe there's somebody here who just wants to come down and say, God, I just want to give my life to you. Will you come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior? Maybe there's somebody here today that says, Pastor Helm, well, you're talking about that burning on your hands. I thought about a family member of mine that doesn't know Jesus, and I just want to pray for them. Why don't you come up and pray for them? Pray for them. God will give you an opportunity. Pray that God puts somebody else in their life that they'll listen to if they won't listen to you. Even people in Jesus' own family didn't listen to him. It was hard for him. So it's going to be hard for us. But don't give up. Don't give up. God didn't call you to give up. He said, go. Now's your time to go. If you want to come and pray at this time, you're welcome to come and pray at the altars. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Welcome to come and pray if you'd like to pray.